morning. Glad you're here. It's a good place to be, and it's I've noticed that Sheetz gas station or restaurant or whatever it is has a sign up. Their advertising now is a twofer. Have you seen them? You know, you get two for the price of one, supposedly. Two items for one price. And so I didn't realize this morning when it came to church, and probably you didn't either, you'd get a twofer this morning. As Jay's given his message, which is great. Should have kept it up, Jay, a little longer. It was good. And now you get the other half with regard to it here. And trust that it ministers to your heart, strengthens your soul, and has us to do that which is right and exalting and lifting up the name of the Lord, which you want to speak on and think on. Some of these things are but reminders, and we just want to really in many ways say thank you this morning, hour, for being faithful to the work of God and sticking by the snuff and to doing that which is right in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and gathering and doing as the scripture says, as believers, to get together and to encourage one another and to minister to one another, to seek to reach the lost and to indeed exalt the Lord. So thank you for doing that. Some Sunday morning, you've noticed, this is not the message, I'm sorry, maybe you're getting a threefer this morning. Some Sunday mornings are a little bit of a challenge to get up and get going and get things together and get ready. You know, it's often seemed like when our family was home, the kids and all that, that while days during the week went fairly reasonably smooth, seems like Sunday mornings just became some mornings a catastrophe. You wonder if you'd ever get out the door, you know. And we had so far to go from all the churches we ministered at, for the most part, across the street. So I don't know what others had to do, you know. And it can become just interesting to me anyway, come Sunday, and how it seems like a lot of things go awry. But thank you for coming. Getting ready. Thank you for having it on your mind, you know, to this is where we should be and to honor and worship the Lord. And we read that portion of Scripture in Ephesians. I think we read it together maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago or something like that, and did a few thoughts on it. And so I wanted to come back to it here. This extraordinary, I call it an extraordinary exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in particular, if you would have your Bible there at Ephesians chapter 1, and thinking about, you know, Christ, who the Father has set him at the right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, Ephesians 1, is it, you know, here's Christ. Here's the exaltation of him by the Father, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, yet beyond our time. And he, God, that's God, has put all things under Jesus' feet, and gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, which is what you are, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you get thinking on that, and, you know, the years are sliding by on all of us. There's nothing new about it. They just are. And as they are, and we think about what I've done, tried to do in my weakness for Christ, and what I wanted to do, and what I am doing, and what I desire to do, and what I hope to do, and then some other things are just sort of dreams, you know, of what might do for him. But we always, good for us to always pause and to think, you know, what's the reason for the existence of the local church, and what's the reason for the existence of a Maranatha Baptist Church in this particular location where I was brought up in the country and on Route 12, New York State, and just up the road there in that valley, which at that time was a very, when I was a kid, a very full valley. Today, very slim amount of people there. But along the road there in about that 15-mile section, there was the local church that I attended. And that when God saved me, that desire was there in the heart to get to church, be at church. No one else in the family was redeemed or wanted to go or have anything to do with it, but to be there. And the church was there for a reason in that valley, and it did a good job of testifying, witnessing, and identifying with the Lord. And times have changed, and associations of how people think on and deal with one another have changed. When front porches were taken off houses, everything seemed to change. It wasn't that closeness. What's the reason for the existence of local church of Maranatha Baptist Church? You know, why are you a member of it? Why is that? And we think about that. What am I doing? What are we doing to show the importance of being a part of the work? Beyond, you know, showing up at the services, that's important and needs to be done. Beyond the offering, that's important, all the things set in the scriptures to carry on the work of God for them. But how are we as responsible, obedient believers making Christ known? How are we making him known? I'd say in all godly ways possible, because there are many, many ways that are not right about how to make Christ known during a week in regard to his ministry. And over the years, God has allowed us to have a little bit to do with his work in making the gospel known, speaking to folks, declaring him. So you'll be very happy to know the sermon has just one point this morning. The second point, Lord willing, next week. And if the Lord hasn't come, we'll do the third point 3 weeks, and then you'll have the blessing. We are believing Earl will be back first Sunday in March. That's the plan. We'll see what the Lord has with regard to that. But anyway, our little point this morning, hour, it's very simple, and you've probably heard it numerous times, but I know I need to review it and think through it and say, is this the way things are going on? And that is indeed the purpose of a local church, and here Maranatha Baptist Church. Purpose of a local church as a whole, the whole shebang, and as individuals in it, each one in it. With regard to, I think, the three main areas of ministry of a local church, and there's always, and I've heard it mentioned several times this morning, some of the songs brought it out, that of the exaltation of the Savior, the exaltation of the Sovereign, to make him known. And then the second point I always bring out with regard to the purpose of a local church is to edify one another, build up, strengthen, minister to one another. And then to evangelize those that are lost, evangelize the sinner. The word sinner is not used too much anymore, you know, but it's a good biblical term and needs to be revived. So here we got them. It's easy outline, really just one point, the purpose of the local church in these three aspects of which we're looking at one this morning hour. So These three make a balanced ministry. We want things to be balanced. We don't want to be all, you know, one way lopsided. But, you know, the guy walking on the tightrope, he's always what? Keep himself balanced. And that's what we want. We want a balanced ministry. And I think I see that with regard to the work and ministry desire with regard to the church. So the scriptures, as they examine our lives, you know, it's the reason we read the Word of God, find out about Christ and how to minister to each other, and how to give out His Word, and how it examines our lives in those three areas of our lives, of our church life, and we want to know how to fulfill them. That's the best way I can. So it's good to be reminded on it, to think down through it. And so I ask myself the question, and you could ask yourself the question if you would. You know, how was the Lord Jesus Christ exalted by me? How was it exalted by the church this past week? I think we'd all agree that Jesus Christ is to be exalted. Would we start there? That's a pretty ground-level place, isn't it? Would we all agree with that? Christ is to be exalted. When you think of the word exalted, and we read about it there in verse 21, 22, 23 of Ephesians 1. You help me out this morning hour. What do you think of when you think of the word exalted? What comes to mind? Give me another word for it.
Lift it up.
Lift it up, yeah.
Praised.
Yeah. How shall my praise ever find end? Yeah. What else? What comes to your mind? Exalted. Maybe you didn't think I would make you think this morning. Exalted. What do you think of?
Worship.
Anything else?
Glorify.
Yeah. I cheated and looked up things, and someone said, unchecked adoration. That's good. Or that someone is very, very, very important. Very important. Esteemed and dignity and so on. All before us. And of course we take our hymn book or his hymn book and we'd go to the Psalms. And we'd find many verses, right, with regard to this theme of him being exalted. We do the same because of the way it's in the hymn book of the Bible, the book of Psalms. And we go to our hymn book in the pews or that we have at home, and we find the many hymns with regard to the same topic. In the Psalms, you know, like 1846 says, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. And then it brings out this phrase, let the God of my salvation be exalted. And then we might read in the 21st Psalm in verse 13, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength we. You know, the Lord gives us the strength so we can do it. So be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength we will praise your power. We can't even exalt him in and of ourselves. It's that which he gives us the ability and desire to do that. Did you find the Psalm book in your Bible? Oh, you got to find it. We're going to look at some here, just a little bit. 46, number 46, Psalm 46. I'll see if I can get close enough to read them here. 46 and verse 10. Who's got it? What's it say? Just tell me.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted above the
Yeah, hey, pay attention. Be still and know. Pay attention to this. I will be exalted. Now look, we're the ones that have that ministry in doing that and making him known. We say putting him first, the priority of our lives, be exalted on the earth. Well, right close by there is 57. Move ahead just a couple, three pages. And 57, and have a phrase repeated two times in the chapter, in the song. So 57 and down at verse 5, it says, be what? Yeah, there he is. Boy, oh, God above the heavens. Boy, that's exaltation, above the heavens. You know, and let your glory be above the earth. You'll find that verse 11 as well. 118, Psalm 118. And you're going to find down at verse 28. Turn on over there. If I can see it, you can. Do thankful. Got an eye doctor's appointment tomorrow. Find out what's going on. 118 and verse 28. Can you say this morning hour? Can you say, you are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will what? I'll exalt you. Yeah. There's a great verse to memorize because it's repetition. You don't have to memorize a whole lot. You're saying the same thing again, right? You are my God. He says that twice in the verse. Like a song, like a chorus would. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Just few of many. And keep watch for them if you're reading in the Psalms and think of them. We have so many great songs in your hymn books on praise. We had some great ones this morning, hour of singing. I was brought up as a kid, though I did not know the Lord, and went to church for many different reasons, and God saved me. But I, in my mind, it was every Sunday morning. It was, we're going to stand up and sing the doxology. And then next, it would always be, holy, 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 week after week after week. And then I, at that time as a kid, I just thought, well, that's the way it is. That's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is a terrific way of worship and adoration and with regard to the Lord. Some of our songs in the book you have, you know, all hail the power of Jesus' name. So you're hailing him, exalting him. Oh, come, let us worship. Let us bow down as we exalt him. Favorite over the years of mine is Be Thou Exalted. And I don't think it's in the church's present hymn book. And I know it well. You don't want me to sing it, but I can read it. You know, Be Thou Exalted forever and ever, God of eternity, the Ancient of Days, wondrous in wisdom, majestic in glory, perfect in holiness, worthy of praise. What great phrases and things brought out of the scriptures as we want our hymns to be, and put forth that declare some a good meat to get a hold of. Be thou exalted, O Son of the Highest, Savior of sinful men, Redeemer and King, one with the Father, co-equal in glory. Humbly we come to thee, our homage we bring, or to bring. And then the last stanza, Be thou exalted, O Spirit of power, so it's covered the Trinity, dwelling within our hearts to keep us from sin. God of the ages and Lord of salvation, ruler of heaven and earth, thy praises we sing. The chorus, Be Thou Exalted, Seraphs and Angels, with harp and the song. Oh, get out the instruments. Bring that melody up. And saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. And all the people said, amen. Yeah, such great songs written from out of the truths of the scriptures to have us to exalt him and then to think, come tomorrow morning, how am I going to exalt him today? What am I going to say? How is my life going to be set forth? I certainly don't do it in any kind of perfection or clarity the way it might do, could do, should do, with regard to exalting him. Oh, to exalt him. We go back to our question. And how was the Lord Jesus Christ exalted in our lives this past week? And what are our plans? How will we exalt him this week that is before us? We know that the Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, will highly exalt him. We remember great verses that are well known to us, and we've read them, thought on them, taught them, had them often, you know, Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. That's always a great place to pause. You know, God has highly exalted him. We pause and we say, am I, have I, do I highly exalt him, given him a name above every name. You kind of go back to the how of doing it. How has the church exalted Jesus in the week past? How? What's the desire, the way of the time ahead? And we kind of examine that in a few areas that we need always reminders of with regard to exalting him. And one of them is that which we believe in the most and strongly we would defend. But perhaps it's one where we do put the least amount of time. And that is exalting him by way of praying. Few things exalt the Savior as much as prayer. A total, unabashed belief that God, as the Bible says, hears us. Remember Christ saying in Luke 18:1, familiar verse, he says, I would that men would always pray and not faint. That means don't quit, don't give up, don't stop. And we remember the words of the disciples who came to Christ. And I wonder if we have come and asked the same. You know, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. To me, it says like, well, if we're not praying enough, or we don't pray, or we need to know more about just kind of all the ins and outs of it. Sometimes we might think as the years go by, I know all there is to know about praying, when the truth is we really probably don't. So prayer exalts the Lord Jesus. Right here in Ephesians, if you go back there for a moment, please. Ephesians chapter 3, we read this. You know, it shows prayer exalts Christ, and it shows a confidence we have in him of whom the scripture says he is able. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or think. Sometimes we think we're really thinking a whole lot of things asking him, and he says above that, above that, above that, above that. And it's according to the power by the grace, love of Christ that works in us. And of course, it's to him be the glory in the church. That is Jesus Christ. So So we think there of a Hebrews 4:16, and we come to prayer and how prayer exalts him. I want to exalt him, and I know I need to pray more, should pray more, can pray more, have the time to just do it. To come boldly to the throne of God. There we obtain mercy. We find grace to help. When do we find that grace to help? In the time of need. We exalt him when we ask him for help. When we lay it out, as it were, on the table. Speak it clearly. It humbles our hearts, and it shows our dependence upon him. So prayer by faith from lips of the redeemed, they exalts Jesus. And when Jesus is exalted, his redeemed people, we rejoice when he's exalted. We rejoice in it. We know when to pray. We know at all times, all seasons, all situations, all matters. You know, the church has a time when it gathers for a specific prayer meeting time. And I encourage you with regard to that. I know it's tough sometimes to get out on a Wednesday night. And you know, you get sitting in that big comfortable chair. You hate that. You got to go warm the car up. Maybe you got to scrape the snow, frost off it. The Lord would have the local church to gather for prayer. It exalts his son. And the church obeys and gathers and prays together. It exalts him. When this church specifically gathers for the purpose of prayer, it's a great exaltation of the Lord. I think of Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. I call it the first church prayer meeting. And that great verse, remember it with me? Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Acts 1:14. We read this there. The disciples are gathered together. Christ had gone back to glory. He told them, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And they were endued by power from on high. And as they're gathered together, I've always liked this verse, 1:14. It's not kind of they were standing around with their hands in their pockets. I don't know if they had pockets in whatever they wore or not. Anyway, but it kind of reminds me of a Sunday school class this morning. All the brothers of Joseph, of Jacob, the sons, just kind of standing around looking at each other. What are we doing now? And, you know, but they weren't doing that. Here in 1:14, it says they all continued with one accord, you know, a unity in what? Prayer and supplication. There were the women. There was Mary, mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Here they are. They're gathered together. Prayer meeting for the exaltation of the Lord Jesus. In the most recent church my wife and I ministered in, and joy of pastoring and many years and some challenges of life there. And interesting to look back in the history of the church, started in 1952. And the history of the church, some clerks are extra good at putting some extra notes in the minutes of the things of the church. But the church voted to have its first meeting service worship time in the church on prayer meeting night, a Wednesday night. And so the church, while it had been organized a wee bit before that, now it's building a building, and now the building unfinished, or meeting in the basement of it, and the notes say, when we gathered for prayer meeting, we had a prayer time, then we changed our clothes and went to work. Well, that's the way prayer, you know, prayer is. You get done praying, you say, time to go to work. There's things to do. We don't say, I prayed and that's done. No, it's we get up and get at them. They changed their clothes and went working on the walls and the inside of the church basement at that time. And so there it is, you know. The church gets together, it starts. And the same way it ought to continue with regard to prayer. And it is very valuable to gather with others. I encourage you to gather together with others. To you know, if you're not working and you're able to do it, and even sometimes if we're not able, we get up and do it, you know, and get there and meet with others, because you're going to encourage that next one and the next one. And they'll be an encouragement to you. They'll strengthen your Christian life just by saying, prayer is so valuable, we must get together for a prayer meeting night and the time that is before us. Think on that. So think of exalting the Lord. The time for prayer. I also would have us to be reminded when the church meets on Sunday. And there's prayer times. We have prayer times, you know. We try to open with prayer, and there's prayer of thanks with regard to the offering. Thank God he's given us the strength, the ability to have something to place in the offering. We plan to give an offering because God has said, you know, we express our faith and trust in him by obedience to the scriptures, and one area of obedience is the time of giving. It's not because I have a whole lot of piles of money and I can just give out. No, it's because God has said, you know, you give what you can and what you have, and God will meet the needs. He'll fill in the gaps and care for you. And so we get together and we pray for the service, during the service. I trust as you're seated together here now like this, you know, it's a prayer time. Praying for the one who's jabbering up front and trying to get something out straight. And, you know, and you go by the missions board, you look at them, you pray for those missionaries. One great time of encouragement, I think, is as you talk to one another and you find out so-and-so is sick or hurting or job situation or fam, and you're talking face-to-face, that's the time to pray. I know we often say, I'll pray for you. It's like we said to a missionary, you know, I'll pray for you, and then you haven't prayed for him once for the last 4 years they've been away, you know. Don't tell him you're going to pray for him as you're not. But if you do tell him, do that. Pray for him. But right at the moment you talk to someone about some matter, some situation, that's the time to pause and pray. Stop and that exalts the Savior. That says, I know you know God. Knows the whole situation. And we want to exalt him by praying. So we encourage with regard to prayer and the matter of keeping matters up and before him. I often think of Acts chapter 12 in this regard. Perhaps you would like to look there. If you don't, I'll read it for you anyway. Acts 12 and verse 5 and then verse 12. So Acts chapter 12 down at verse 5. Went right by it. All right, Peter's in prison. Acts 12 and verse 5, Peter's in prison, and that's what it says. Peter was therefore kept in prison. Then there's a beautiful little word I circled in my Bible, but. But what was going on while he was in prison, folks? Prayer, constant, consistent prayer was offered to God for him by who? By the church. The church had gathered and was praying, praying, and praying for him. And you know, the answer to that was brought out over in verse 12, you know, when he's been released from prison by God, and the church is praying for him, verse 12. So when he had considered this, as Peter thought about how God had gotten him out of prison, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And what was going on there? Many were what? They were together. They'd gathered together. For what purpose? They were praying, you know. Praying. As you're praying here with regard to all the literature that is sent out, and you're praying that someone will get the right piece of literature and the right book and get the copy of the scriptures, and they'll open it and they'll read it. You're praying constantly that God will release them from their sin and bring them to himself. Prayer reaches indeed literally to heaven and asking God to reach down to whoever, whatever the situation is. Constant prayer. They were given at it. They were gathered together. The strength of prayer together. And going on with it. So when you open our mouths, I mean no disrespect for this because I do the same thing. We open our mouths to eat and we don't even think about it. You know, elbow bends, mouth opens. You know how it all works. And As we do it so easily and simply in our eating, might it be so easily and simply in our praying? Praying. Praying for Jesus to be exalted and glorified in this life that he has redeemed. Praying that Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, will reach lost people living close by us. The testimony of our lives, the words of our lips from the words of the Scripture, that people be persuaded of Christ and are attracted to Christ by persistent, consistent, godly living. Many years ago, and I think it was even before my wife and to be, we were married, before we were married, and maybe we'd been married by then. Do you notice how things get in a little fog back there sometimes? What happened when? We had a lady at the first little church we were at pastoring in Pennsylvania. And Marguerite was her name. Her husband's name was Dud. I don't think that was his real name, but that's what I have heard. Marguerite was our pianist. And Marguerite played by ear. And whenever she knew there was someone else going to be in church who knew how to play, in fact, she'd go and ask him, do you play? And in our little church, we were kind of trying to revive and get going again. And we were able to do that and able to reach out with it. But in that little church, one of the men said, we ought to have prayer meeting. I was a college student, working full time, making believe I was playing soccer, and a few other things. And he says, we ought to have prayer meeting. I said, yeah. We probably should. So I would drive the 30 miles for the prayer meeting. This gentleman would come to that little building and heat up the oil kerosene burner, and we would sit there together, the two of us, for prayer meeting. For a long time, I don't recall. Maybe there had been at times one or two others, but at that time, there was the two of us. And we stuck with it. We prayed together We believed it was the right thing to do for the exalting of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the desire was to reach where we were, neighbors round about with Christ. So we pray for Jesus by the Holy Spirit he has given to reach the lost around us, to see them as lost, to understand what that means, because that praying exalts the Lord Jesus. We pray with regard to God putting upon the heart, the mind of that man and that family that he's prepared to be the pastor here. Pray for that. It exalts the Savior as we show we're leaning upon him. And pray so that the deacons, the men on the pulpit gathering group would know that this is the one to ask to come and to present. That exalts the Lord Jesus. We have to exalt him. Don't get weary in the well-doing of that. And our own sin in our lives. We know we're sinners saved by grace, and we know we sin. And we have the delight of 1 John 1:9 and to confess our sins to him. There'll be no block, no wall between us and the Lord Jesus. That exalts the Lord Jesus to come before him. And we would ask, and have over the years that Jesus remove any laziness on my part or self-contentment with regard to what I think I'm doing so well for the Lord, and lack of compassion. Inconsistent in witnessing. Think about what's keeping me in this body that I have as it is. I'm to be a living sacrifice, this body is. And speaking of Christ who died for me, it exalts him, exalts the Lord. That's what we want to do. Well, I close with these. And we keep on exalting Jesus. It will do that which magnifies his name. And you would rejoice if 5 folks, 10 folks, one individual, 20, came to Christ and started attending the ministry, the church, and working. And we know that would exalt the Savior. It reminds us, how are we doing? Would not a pastor who you as a church would call to come, would not it be his desire to know how is the church daily exalting Jesus? It's all about him. How are you daily edifying one another? What are you planning to do to edify, build up another this week? And how we're doing at evangelizing the lost. And this portion in Ephesians, I read a section as we close here of Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 15. Perhaps you noted this, and I did this week, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Here we go. We're going to close it up. Where's a big amen? Ephesians 1:15. Give me a moment to get there. Well, to ask ourselves the question that Christ asked his disciples so long ago, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Ephesians chapter 1 reminds us in verse 15 that faith is believing what God has said and then acting upon it. I believe what God has said. Then when we believe something, we act upon it. We exalt Christ. It exalts Christ to act upon it. And where is your love? Where is your love? Also in the same verses, I'll read them in a moment. Where is your love? You know, love is the exercise of my life, my heart, my will for the good of another. Love is that for the good of another. Be it your husband, wife, neighbor, kids, whoever. It exalts Christ. Love for the exercise of my will for the good of the work of Christ. Now, where's your hope? Where's your hope? You know, our hope is putting our confidence in the Word of God for the future. Future of the church, future of the ministries he has for us, a dependence upon him. You notice that in Ephesians chapter 1. Here I read at verse 15. Therefore, he says, I also, after I heard of your, what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your, for all the saints, your love for all the saints, as I don't cease to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers. And down to verse 18, where he says, in the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, inheritance in the saints. Faith, love, and hope. How will we this week, as those exalt the sovereign and edify one another and evangelize the lost, how will we express our faith and love and hope in the Lord Jesus? Father, apply your word to me, to these dear folks. Take it and make it a part of our lives. Help it not to be just a Sunday morning and forgotten, but Father, what are our plans to exalt you this week? And what are our plans through prayer to carry on your work? And what will we do so that one day when we stand before you, when we stand giving that report, part of it will be that we exalted the Savior properly. And we sought to minister to one another and strengthen one another. And we sought to reach out, give out the gospel, and always ready to give an answer of the things of the Scriptures to others. Bless over this day. Might the evening hour be well remembered, and might we come together. And Wednesday night as well, might it be a great time of exalting you as we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.